Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you. Yes, it is still Easter week, and today I am taking you on a journey. I'm recording this program as I am taking a walk. This is something I've done on a few occasions, and I hope that you don't mind. I'm actually living out the reality that life is a journey, and we're going to walk this journey together. All right, I will be back in a minute. We're going to continue to look at some fundamental questions. Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com. Hey, welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, good and gracious God, we love you, and we thank you again in Jesus' holy name for the gift of the resurrection, for the power at work that raised him from the dead, and give him that power to ascend into heaven and to express his lordship over all that is marked by death in our lives. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would be a Lord and Savior. You would be one who is bringing us to life and to new life. And Lord, I just ask that you would give us grace, you'd give us mercy today. And we make this prayer in your holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, the theme is fundamental questions. These are questions that are bigger than we are. These are questions that are not just answered once and for all, but these are questions that are answered by actually walking out a life. You attempt to put into practice in the life that you're living the insight that you have about that question. Who am I? Where have I come from? Where am I going? Those are typical fundamental questions. And those are good. We should ask those questions. I have some other questions that I've pondered in my life that in pondering them have made a meaningful difference. Sometimes a shocking difference. Two days ago, I talked about three that really lay out that idea that life is a journey. What was that all about? A great reflection about where we have come from. What's at stake right now? And that really is about evaluating the present moment and the good that's at stake in the moment. And today I'm going to have a question that's associated with that, but it's different. And it kind of slices into life in a slightly different way. And then the third question is, what do I want to do with the time that remains? And that's the one that has been, let's say, really more prominent in my life, in this stage of my life. Being 60 years old and kind of gazing forward into the future, it's easy for us to live in a type of illusion. Like you hear the jokes about, oh, when I look in the mirror, I see myself as being a much younger man than I actually am. I see myself probably envisioning myself being, I don't know, somewhere 10 to 20 or even 30 years younger than I actually am. I know that sounds silly, but that's kind of a truism for people our age. We tend to see ourselves, and when we look at ourselves, being much younger than we actually are. One way of kind of proving that is you'll meet someone or you see someone and you find out that they're 3 years younger than you, and you thought to yourself, man, does that person look old? And then you realize, wait a minute, I'm older than that person. Do I look to other people the way that that person looks to me? And sadly, Tom, the answer is yes. Yes, you do. that's not how I see myself. So pretty humbling, but that's how we can go forward through life, is thinking of ourselves through imagining ourselves in a younger state than we actually are. And in addition to that, there's a sense of, I don't want to call it like kind of an excuse for not growing up, right? There's a sense of not taking ownership, not taking that sense of it's time to be the adult. There's a way in which we will, I think, hedge towards that status of being a child. I don't mean being childish, right? There's part of the gospel that is, unless you become like a child, you won't enter the kingdom of God. So there's that childlike trust. And yet, one of the things that comes from reading a book like Preparation for Death, from St. Alphonsus de Liguori, you read that book, and when I've read it, more than once, but when I've read it, it is, that the right word is sobering. It's very sobering, because it puts squarely in front of us, in front of me, the inevitability of death, the potential nearness of death, the call to be ready for death, the acknowledgement that, you know what, you're just not as important as you think you are in the lives of others, that after you die, they're moving on with their lives. They cry and they're sad, and then they move on to their next activity. And the memory of you fades, and fades very quickly. St. Alphonsus, he does not hold back. If you haven't read that book, well, it's one of the things I always said. There are a couple of books in my life where I say, if you're going to read that book, read it during the day. Read it in the light. Read it on a sunny day, because the message itself is a difficult one and a challenging one. And it's like, okay, do I really want to be thinking about that? However, I've been using this moment to ask myself that question of what do I want to do with the time that remains in a much more, I think, positive and motivating way, with that idea that, okay, when I die, I'm going to meet the Lord. And if you heard my program yesterday, there's this idea that exists in the mind of God. There's this idea of who He's intended me to be, and that's going to be presented to me. It's going to be unveiled to me in the moment that I die, at my judgment. And I'm going to see that distance and discrepancy that exists between the person I became and what He intended me to become, what He intended me to do. And that has taken on a center stage quality in my own life. And it has motivated me to want to live differently. So when I say, what do you want to do with the time that remains? it's an out of the ordinary question, because it, for me, has opened the possibility to let a scripture intrude in my life and bring about transformational change in my life. And that question, the scripture is from the Gospel of Luke, where the nobleman goes off and gives the gold coin to his servants, and he comes back, and you remember the first servant who steps forward to show what he's done with that gold coin is what? He gives him 10. You gave me one, I give you back 10. And that 10 gold coin, that 10 times return, what I'm just calling my 10x life, it's like, that's what I want to do with the time that remains. I don't want to settle for less than a 10x life. And so, brothers and sisters, when you ask a fundamental question, you may come in contact with a path of reflection that opens up the possibility to change everything about how you're living. You remember the popular definition of insanity. It's doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And in our spiritual lives, if we take seriously the call to holiness, the call to saintliness, then the idea that we would somehow just keep doing what we're doing and achieve that, let me ask you the question. Do you sense, is your own discernment that what you're doing right now, the path that you're walking right now, is in fact leading you to a life of sainthood, that you'll end up becoming a saint, and you have like great confidence that you are in fact fulfilling the mission that God has for your life, that you're returning a tenfold, you're living that 10x life. Are you that confident in that? Well, if you're not, then make that prayer your own. Lord, the prayer is the result of asking the question, what will I do with the time that remains? And the answer is, beg the Lord incessantly, daily, fervently, to form my life and forge my life into one that gives a tenfold return. Lord, whatever else happens in my life, Lord, whatever else you're doing in my life, please, I beg you, do not let me settle for anything less than a 10x life. Lord, I long for a tenfold return on the stewardship that you have placed in my life. That's what I want. Now, what's going to happen in your life? I have no idea. Lose my phone number. And I'm saying that because something big will happen. Something transformational will happen. Some kind of massive, like, disruption and eruption and dislocation of stuff that hasn't moved in your past is going to start moving in your present if you pray that prayer fervently. And so asking fundamental questions, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. So yesterday I asked two other questions. One was, Lord, who am I to you? Right? So that's a question in the context of prayer. And the other question was, what do you have that you haven't received? And I only covered that one very briefly. That's the gift message of John Paul II, that if you have the eyes to see, if you have the consciousness, the awareness that it's all a gift, what do you have that you haven't received? The answer is nothing. It's all gift. And even the things that you would most clearly want to identify with your own accomplishment, your own hard work and perseverance and use of your own gifts and talents, if you can just stop for a moment and remember that the propensity to recognize and put those gifts into service, into action, is, guess what? It's a gift. The talents you have, it's a gift. The connections you have, it's a gift. The relationships you have, it's a gift. The desire to put your gifts into service, it's a gift. It's all a gift. When you dig down deep enough, you'll come back around to the humble recognition. What do you have that you haven't received? Nothing. It's all a gift. And if it's all a gift, then you're a steward of that gift. And as a steward of that gift, and of the gifts God's given you, they're meant to be put into practice. And what that means is that your mission in life, your purpose in life, flows from your identity. Right? Your identity is a gift. Well, what does that mean for your purpose? What that means is your purpose is also to be a gift. Be who you are. All you are and have is a gift. Go be a gift in the world. Forge your very existence into a gift for others. That's not easy. So asking the question, what do you have that you haven't received? Fundamental question, it can make a fundamental change. a fundamental change in how you see life and how you live life. But not only your own life, but others. Because now all of a sudden, this gift quality that is yours, this irreplaceable, unique, one-of-a-kind reality that you are, is also true of the person next to you. Well, it's true of anybody you meet. And what if we could start seeing with those eyes? What if we would be able to have a consciousness that every person we encounter is a gift? And every person we encounter has been planted here by God as a steward of that gift that they are and the gifts that they have. And what they're doing with their lives, maybe hopefully also, is striving to be a gift to others. If you can see your own life and the lives of others in your day-to-day life, that lens of gift changes everything. Brothers and sisters, it changes everything about how you're going to live in this world. And so asking fundamental questions can make a fundamental difference. And isn't that worth doing? I know it's not very pragmatic, but it has such practical implications. I know it doesn't seem like it yields immediate results, but it actually is at the foundation of transformational change. And that consciousness that's all a gift, that consciousness of discovering who you are in the mind of Christ, and not just you, but others that you can again ask for, Lord, reveal to me who my wife is in your eyes. Lord, reveal to me who my kids are in your eyes. Lord, reveal to me who my boss is in your eyes. That's all a gift too. Then all of a sudden we start looking to the Lord to be a good and loving Father, the one who is the giver of all good gifts. Again, changes everything. All right, when we come back, I'm going to share with you three other fundamental questions that we'll explore today. Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. So I mentioned in this program, I'm going to be laying out some other fundamental questions. This one that I'm going to share with you right now is, it's one that makes me smile. And it's a little bit less profound than the other questions that I've talked to you about so far. In fact, the three questions that I have for you today are not quite as profound in terms of like having some like underlying, like great horizon bringing change, but they still make a difference. And I think you'll get it by when you hear them. So the first one is one that I enjoy saying quite a bit. So I said, it makes me smile, and it's the following. What's the best thing that's happening in your life right now? What's the best thing that's happening in your life right now? And that's a question that I will often use in professional settings. When I'm, you know, going into an office to meet someone, like I'm showing up at a receptionist desk, or I'm talking with someone on the phone that I'm just meeting for the first time who is connecting with me because of some, like, again, professional service type of contact. Or even if it's just someone that I'm trying to get to know better. That's a colleague of mine. And I'll break the ice with this question. What's the best thing happening in your life right now? And it's a question that routinely catches people off guard. It routinely plays a disruptive role in someone's being present in the moment. How they are in that moment. People tend to be like sort of all business, right? I'm all business. And so all of a sudden, I just kind of sweep the legs out from under them and ask the question, you know, what's the best thing happening in your life right now? And what it does is it, again, in sweeping the legs, it's disrupting the natural tendency that they'll have in their being present in a moment in their approach to life, which can be sometimes, maybe even often, critical. Or if they are present to the current reality or the current situation that they're in, probably noticing something that is lacking, something that is hurting, something that is broken. And their natural tendency is not to be present in, first of all, with the thing that's the best thing going on in their life. But when I pursue the question with them, like, what's the best thing going on in your life right now? And I'm sincere. No, really, I want to know. Right? Because they're caught off guard by it. Then, you know what their first natural response is? It's to stop and reflect, because they're not naturally in that mode of thinking. So I've brought them into a mode of questioning that is going to get them to get underneath the just flow of the everyday, or of the tendency to focus on the limited, the broken, the lacking, the hurting, and instead get them to remember and recall the thing that is, in fact, beautiful, glorious, happy, wonderful. And let's let that have some room to breathe. Let's let that have some space to be brought out into the open. And it is, you know the effect it has on the person I'm talking to? Almost without exception, they start smiling. They start to genuinely smile. They're really happy to talk about the best thing that's going on in their life right now. And it becomes a great introducer. It becomes a wonderful motivator to be grateful, to be a person of gratitude. And honestly, can you see? This is grateful for a gift that's present in their life right now. I think that's powerful. To help people return to a place of gratitude for a good thing that's happening. Or, let's use the context of faith, a blessing, a gift, a grace that God has given. And so, brothers and sisters, I ask you very sincerely, what's the best thing that's happening in your life right now? And I want you to really ponder that and think about that. It'll have a couple of effects. One of the effects is the contextualizing of life itself. Like, just realizing how good we have it. So one of the natural reciprocations that comes about when I ask that question, what's the best thing happening in your life right now, is that people will come back to me and they'll say, well, what about you? What about you? And that, actually, I'll answer that one second. What they'll also say, they'll say that, but one of the things they'll also say, and I want to do this one first, is they'll say, well, you know what, if I just talked about my complaints, no one would want to listen anyways. So they will contrast the thing that they're happy about with like this challenge that's happening in their life right now. And that will often lead to the simple statement, you know what, if that's the worst thing happening in my life right now, I've got a really good life. Right? So when they talk about a complaint, and that's the thing that people will maybe want to discuss first, is a pain point. And to be able to gently say, if that's the worst thing going on, and I'll do it for myself. I'll make it personal because I don't want to impose the idea on them, but I at least raise it up. You know what? If that's the worst thing going on in my life right now, I've got a really good life. Or if I'm talking to a person of faith, I'll say, you know what? If that's the biggest cross I have to bear right now, the Lord has given me a very blessed life. And then all of a sudden, once again, the awareness piece, the consciousness piece, how are we looking at our lives? How are we seeing our lives? That begins to change. And if I can help foster a fundamental change by asking a fundamental question, how are you looking at your own life? How are you seeing your own life? What's the awareness that is predominant in your own life? Is it this gift quality that all that you are to have is a gift from God? Or to introduce Father Chizik and what he says in He Leadeth Me, it's all God's providence that the Lord is providing for me today in the very circumstances and situations and the people that are in my life, even those people that are like torturing me. It's the hand of God's providence at work, humbling me and bringing me a grace that is very difficult for me to receive. But the Lord is still here. He's a faithful God, and He's providing for me. So He had this capacity to be, let's call it, immune to the circumstances because of His vision that God is a good and loving provider. My Father is a good and loving provider, and He's providing for me in the midst of plenty and in the midst of pain. And those pain and those crosses, you know what? If that's the hardest thing going on in my life right now, I've got a really good life. So that's the first thing. That's the first thing that comes out of it is an attitude of gratitude. A way of seeing life that is rooted in thanking the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. His mercy that has preserved me from far worse things. And His grace that has given to me so many good things for which I ought to be very grateful and not simply take them for granted. So that's the first like fruit that comes from this reframing and the asking of this fundamental question. What's the best thing happening in your life right now? The other one is when it gets reversed back to me. And they'll share about the thing that's making them, you know, the happiest right now, the thing that makes them smile right now. And they'll say, what about you? And I'll say to them, the best thing happening in my day today, the best thing happening in my, like, what's the best thing that's happening in your day today? The best thing happening in your life right now. I'll say to them, meeting you. It's meeting you. And they laugh. And then I'll joke and I'll say, well, I'm in sales. But then I'll say, no, let me tell you that it really is meeting you. And they say, can I tell you how? Let me share with you how. And in fact, I told this story. This happened on the phone with me about a month ago. A month ago, this salesperson was making a sales call to me. It was associated with real estate work, And this was a title company that was looking to get my business. And I asked that question, what's the best thing happening in your life right now? And then she turned it around and asked me, and I said it was meeting her. And she laughed, and I said, no, let me tell you how. And then I told her, I said, it's because of who you are. You know, you're a gift. And then I went on to unfold what that meant. You're one of a kind. You're precious. There's only one of you in all of history. And through you, there's something beautiful and true and good about humanity that's showing up in a way that you have it show up in this world that no one else in all of history will ever have show up the way it does through you. You're a gift. And so for me to have the opportunity to interact with you, and especially to interact with you in a life-giving way, that's a beautiful thing. That's the best thing happening in my life right now, is talking with you. And she started crying. She started crying. She was weeping and saying, I just so needed to hear that. And then she decided to disclose more fully that today was the day that the anniversary of her father's death, and she was missing him greatly and had a belief that he was still alive and beyond this earth, like in heaven, right? But that she was still very sad today and missing him. And then I did my thing and I said, look, I said, if you're a person of faith, you just might accept that God sent me as an angel. God sent me as a messenger. And that messenger is rooted in your father's love for you, that your father continues to see you. He sees you right now. And in fact, he's loving you more perfectly than he ever has before. For now, all the limitations and the imperfections in his love have been removed. Now that he is in heaven and has been purified and perfected in his capacity to love you. So he is seeing you with love, and he's loving you better than he ever could ever have loved you on earth. And in fact, I can say that I believe that it was the Lord who is honoring his love for you by allowing this communication to happen. And she cried some more. And just, again, look what that happened. Look what happened there, right? What happened? It was this beautiful sense of the Lord saying that what's the best thing happening in your life right now leads you to the opportunity to encounter another human being who's a gift, just a gift from God. And so if you can begin to see every person like that and see every interaction like that, then lo and behold, you're going to have just a wonderful day every day, right? A wonderful life at all times. In fact, today, I'm recording this yesterday afternoon. You're hearing this on Thursday morning. It's Wednesday afternoon. I'm recording this program. Today, I've had two very beautiful conversations, very powerful conversations. And my goal was to, again, just be a steward of the gift that I am and the gifts I've been given, and striving to be a gift to the people that I was talking to. One was on the phone, one was in person. And, you know, that for me is, it's just it's a tremendous way to go through life, right? And what was I saying to you? These fundamental questions, they're not ordinary. But if you're willing to welcome these questions into your life, they can bring about extraordinary change. Extraordinary change. By being willing to live the questions. Remember, these questions are not answered once and for all, not one and done. No, they're going to be lived in a fresh way, in a new way, and even really, truly, in a deepened way, every single day. So, just wanted to share that with you. All right, up against a break, when we come back, I have two other questions that are even a little bit more grounded, than that one. But again, they have a fundamental quality to them that, again, can open up a horizon that can make a big difference. We'll get into those in just a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. And I am reflecting with you on some fundamental questions. And I want to say thank you, Lord, because I wouldn't have dedicated programs to this theme had it not been for the recent discernment that my wife and I have had about how do we want to live in the time that remains, and me feeling a stewardship and therefore a call that part of me living this 10 gold coin life, to give a 10x return in the time that remains, that I have a call to write books. And I'm sharing with you reflections that are going to one day be turned into a book. And so I'm, you know, I've got these, I went through the prayers, the short, like this, the little prayers that make big difference. These are now, you know, fundamental questions that will make a big difference. And then I'll go through some of the the other books later, but I'm going to get through these questions today. And what I like about them is that they're all drawn from my life. These are not just clever questions that I asked ChatGPT or some AI engine to come up with, but these are questions that have accompanied me in my own life. They've forged a space in my life. And so my hope is that you sense that they're genuine, that there's like a quality of authenticity to the questions that I'm asking, because they really have taken root. They've found a soil in my life that have taken deep roots. And so they're very meaningful to me. This next question came from a course that I took by Father Mark Noonan on the human person. And it was really arguably the most profound and life-changing course that I ever had. I had it as a junior in college. And it was, at then I couldn't appreciate what I was given, but I kept the notes to the class and I went through those notes for 25 years until, in the mystery of all things, those notes got packed in a box and in one of our moves got thrown away along with decades of journals. So there's a real surrender there. Decades of journaling my own prayer times, and included in that were the notes from certain classes in Father Noonan's class. These set of notes that he had handed out were number one. They were the top and most important, had been so marked up and coffee stains and everything. Okay. But I remember one of the things that I remember was this fundamental question. And the fundamental question is related to discernment. I've shared this before, that I've given, I don't know, a few thousand presentations in my life in the last 35 years in 35 states, retreats, parish missions, lectures, theology talks, retreats, all that stuff, right? So afterwards, when I have Q&A sessions, questions will come up. And the top two questions that I was asked, one was, how do I pray? And so really daily prayer time kind of questions. How do I pray? I'm not hearing from God, et cetera, et cetera. And the other one is, how do I hear God's voice? How do I discern God's will? So questions of discernment. And those are linked, right? So it's all about it's about contact, communication, and communion with the living God. But this is a question of discernment, this fundamental question. And it's stated in the following way by Father Noonan, but I've welcomed it into my life and I've lived it. in a daily way, and now it's sort of implicit, it's in my blood, it's in my bones, it's just how I live. And the question is, among all the things that are happening right now, what's the most important thing for me to pay attention to? Among all the things that are happening in my life right now, what's the most important thing for me to pay attention to? That's the question of discernment. And I want to build my reflection. It's kind of, again, like iceberg is my metaphor. And by the iceberg metaphor, I mean, you know, that question can sound not that profound. It can sound kind of prosaic, just sort of simple, if you will. But in some ways, that which is simple is also the most profound. It allows the one to appear in the midst of the many. And I can see the one that I'm pursuing, right? That one thing necessary that Jesus talked about in the Martha and Mary story. Martha, you're anxious about many things. Mary has chosen the one thing necessary, and it won't be taken from her. And so hold on to that, right? Among all the things happening in my life right now, what ought I be paying attention to? And the reason why that's a profound question is that it's not always obvious. It's not always obvious. We tend to pay attention to the thing that shows up most immediately, thing that shows up the loudest, the thing that's making the biggest impact, maybe the biggest felt impact, the thing that's like stirring us the most at an emotional level, the thing that is bringing anxiety to us, right? So that's a way in which things that are happening in our day-to-day life can be impacting our capacity to really discern what ought we to be paying attention to. And I have shared with you all, this is actually in another book, but I've shared with you all that, you know, great St. Philip Neri identified that these enemies we have in the spiritual life are dispersion, distraction, and diversion. And those are things that, guess what, make it difficult for us to pay attention to the thing that God would have us pay attention to right now. And so diversion is sin. Sin will divert us. Sin will take us off the right path. And we'll end up paying attention to the allure of a sin. And if we give ourselves over to that, we weaken our very capacity to discern well. We weaken the voice of God in our lives. But it's not just sin. It's also temptation. It's distractions. And I'm going to cover distractions last because I think it's the most relevant and poignant for right now. So the third was dispersion. Dispersion is a rat race. Dispersion is doing many things. Dispersed. I'm going off in many directions all at once. And what's at stake in going off in many directions all at once? Well, I don't have the strength of energy. I don't have the strength of focus to be able to pay attention to the thing that I ought to be paying attention to. And so dispersion weakens and saps our strength to be able to have the focus and the energy to pursue the thing that God is calling us to do. I have mentioned in the past Antonio Rosmini, the 19th century Italian philosopher, Catholic philosopher, that he founded the Institute of Charity. And that's like a religious community. And the Institute of Charity was apostolic, right? It went out into the world to do good works. And one of his rules was, hey, if you're going to discern taking on a new work of charity, a new initiative, will that diminish or rob you from the capacity to do the other works of charity that you're currently doing? And so you can't do every good thing. And so we can be dispersed into missing out on what God is actually calling us to do. We can miss out on what we ought to be paying attention to right then. And then the last one is distraction. And I mention it because I feel like I grew up, I became an adult in an age where the rat race was a really big deal conversation. And yet today it feels like we're in a different moment. And it's the moment of distraction. It's the moment of the smartphone addiction. Smartphone addiction, I'm talking to a group of people right now on the radio or on the podcast, and I'm going to make a blunt and bold statement. It's probably not even that bold. You are addicted to your smartphone. You are. Unless you can prove to me you're not, you are. You spend too much time dissipating, wasting, deflating your spiritual energy and your capacity to focus on the Lord, to attend to Him and to His voice in the moment. And you're wasting it scrolling. You're wasting it with just noise, unnecessary noise coming into your life. What am I supposed to be paying attention to right now? Well, if I really ask that question, if I am serious about pursuing the answer to that question, among everything that's going on in my life right now, what ought I to be paying attention to? That's the question of discipleship. That's the question of, at its root, at its profound, just core foundation. My day-to-day life is meant to be an expression of listening and obeying, discerning and following. Lord, what are you asking of me? I say yes in advance to whatever it is you're asking. Just give me the grace to recognize your call. And so, in little things and big things, right, you can use all kinds of distinctions to identify the urgent versus the important. But in the end of the day, it's a very simple, am I paying attention to what the Lord is asking me to pay attention to or not? All right, I'm up against a break. I'll be back in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. I'm reflecting on some fundamental questions. I have one more question for you today. I've gone through a couple of questions already. And the third one, the last one that I want to cover is, again, it's operating at a slightly higher than the most profound metaphysical level of life, but it does actually touch upon the deeper level of meaning. And if we ask ourselves these questions in a serious manner, we take them seriously, they'll change our life. You ask that question that we just covered, among all the things that I'm supposed to be paying attention to, what ought I pay attention to right now? You take that seriously, and you come to discover what you're supposed to pay attention to, guess what you're going to do? You're going to start acting more intentionally in your life. You're going to start acting with more determination in your life. You're going to move from a dispersed, distracted, diverted life to a life that's focused on fulfilling God's call and purpose in your day-to-day life. That'll change everything. It'll change everything. All right, what about the last question? The last question is one that I have tended to use almost entirely in professional settings as a strategy consultant, an executive coach, and in real estate. And so I ask it in these dialogical situations. It's definitely something that Carrie and I take into account in our own discernment about our own lives, but it's definitely a question that has easy relevance in the professional settings where I've worked for 30 years. And the question is it worth what it costs. Or another way of saying it, in some contexts it's better stated, is that worth more than it costs? So that fundamental pair of concepts of worth and cost, those are important and very profound concepts for our daily life, because it is bringing out not just the truth of the matter, the fact of the matter, but rather the goodness of the truth, the goodness of the matter that's being considered, the worth of the reality that's being considered, the value, the truly valuable quality of the matter at hand. And so I have to tell you, I'll give you just some examples of how this simple question has made a profound difference in my life. So it is like when I go meet with the CEO, for all those years that I was serving CEOs and business owners, they would come in and they would say, well, why would I hire you? And I would just put a box. I'd go on the whiteboard and I'd just draw a picture of a box. It was a blank box. I'd draw an arrow in and an arrow out. And on the arrow out, I would put a dollar sign. And I would write the word worth. And then on the arrow in, I would put a dollar sign. And I would say cost. And I would say, what I will do while I'm here, here's what's going to happen in the box, the variety of activities that are involved in my consulting and coaching, all those activities, whatever they are, they're going to cost a lot. Here's the cost. But my proposal is, it's worth more. And I would identify, here's what my services are worth. And that worth would have a tangible, measurable quality like dollars, but it would have other fruits and benefits, other outcomes that would be considered valuable to the business owner. And basically, I would say, I have a very simple proposition for you. I cost a lot, but I'm worth more. And if it isn't clean and clear and simple for you to see that the work that I'll do is going to be worth more to you than I cost, then we shouldn't work together. We shouldn't go forward. But I want you to have this confidence and this clarity in a way that's really simple. That I cost a lot, but I'm worth more. Okay. But that actually then moves downstream to any relationship, any activity, right? It would be the same thing that I do when I'm like talking to clients to serve them as a, like list their house for sale in real estate. I'll go in, I'll say, here's the work I'll do. It's in that box, the work that I'm going to do. And I'll say to them, this is how much it will cost, but here's what it's worth. And once again, if it's not simple and clean and clear to you, that what I'm going to be offering you is worth more than it costs, then you should not choose me to list your house. You should not choose me to work with you in helping you buy a house. Because what I offer is, it costs a lot, but it's worth more. And I share that framework for you to say that it's not just, I'm not just sharing with you a tool for business. I'm sharing with you a tool for life. Because as you're considering not hiring an executive coach or a real estate agent, but if you're hiring any person who's providing a service, or if you're considering taking some direction, a new job, moving to a new location, choosing a certain school, ask yourself that same question. Put it in the box and just say, what is it going to cost? And what's it worth? And if it's not clear to you that the direction you're taking is worth more to you than it costs, then don't do it. So I give you that framework because it can change your life. Hold on to that. It's simple and it's profound. Is it worth what it costs? Is it worth more than it costs? And if it's not, don't do it. And if it is, push forward. All right, I hope and pray that these fundamental questions have been a blessing for you to reflect on me with. And let me just, I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. All right.